Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. God is good all the time. And his presence is full in the fullness of shoo. Hallelujah. And his presence is fullness of joy. And wave number 22. Glory. You know, before we start tonight, as we were coming to the end of the worship, I heard the Lord say, "This is the first release of my judgment." And he said to me, "Don't be frightened, my judgment is to awaken. Better my judgment than my wrath." And I saw a boulder hit the ocean, and there was a ripple effect. And I saw people get blown out of the way. Some were able to get up and shake it off, and some were not. They were not able to recover. I mean, they got blown out. And some of them, they got up and they were able to shake it off and get up and continue to go, and some of them were removed. And again, he shared about, this is still a part of my shaking, but this is the beginning, some of the first parts of my judgment. And again, my judgment is not my wrath. My judgment is to awaken so that my people would escape my wrath. And so in this, there is something that he had spoke to me about. And I want to share about some of that tonight. And it's called Converting the Soul. Converting the Soul. And if you'll turn to John chapter 9. You know, we are in such a preparation stage in a rehearsal. People do not believe. They don't believe what's getting ready to happen. They don't believe. They don't believe that the United States can be affected or attacked. They don't believe. They believe that they're safe in this country. Nobody's safe in this country. Nobody. The only place that we're safe is in the secret place. And that's with him. And this is the great deception and the great delusion that is going to increase. And there will be many who are not prepared. Just like we spoke in the days of Noah, where they were drinking and partying and giving in marriage and their dependency is on their wealth, their dependency is on their intellect and knowledge, their dependency is on government and the things of the world. In fact, their dependency is on the ruler of this world, but they don't know that. This is a part of the falling away because it's already begun. See, so the falling away had to begin so that even the beginning of God's judgment can be established. And in John chapter 9, in verse 10, there was a man that the Lord healed, and many didn't believe it. And it was real simple. And if you'll go to verse 6, it says, he said, "When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay." So he spat on the ground and made saliva. I mean, made clay, made something. He made mud. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and I received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. What a mistake that was. Again, there's something that occurred for this man to receive sight. And I want you to understand that converting the soul is to bring sight. Without a converted soul, there is no sight. And there's something that Jesus did. He took the clay. He made with two things, his saliva and the thing that he created, which was substance, which was earth. So with his anointing, he made something, and then he rubbed it on the man's eyes. And he said, go and wash, and you will see. See, everything that was made through him and for him. But there was nothing made that he didn't speak was made. So even the clay itself was his word. Has everybody got it? Why? Because he spoke it. And he took his own word with his own anointing, and he created eyes in this man. And the man went and washed, and he was able to see. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Now Jesus sends a letter to the church of the Laodiceans, which is known as the lukewarm church. And he says to them, I know your works, in verse 15, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's called the gray area, right? And because you say I am rich and become wealthy, hello, and have need nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now these are believers that have backslidden. They were hot at one time, and they became lukewarm because their dependency and their fulfillment now was beginning to come from the world instead of the presence of God. And they began to get more and more blind. They no longer could see the way they used to see. They no longer could hear the way they used to hear. And in verse 18, Jesus says to him, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And he says, anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Now I want you to understand something, that the reason why the Laodiceans became wealthy is because they found a material which they produced into powder, which became a salve. And this salve that they began to create, that they made, they began to sell. And it caused them to be wealthy. It brought them riches. It was a medical ointment powder that they made. So when Jesus knew what, because of course the Lord gives them the ways, but they took the talent and ability that God gave them and the invention that God gave them, and it became their God. So he says, take what I gave you and showed you, that has caused you to become wealthy, that which has caused you, that I gave you that caused you to become wealthy has now caused you to become blind. You better start using it yourself. Is everybody all right? So the salve was a powder made into a medical ointment. They became wealthy, but they were lukewarm. This was a lukewarm church that had begun to lose sight and vision. And what was happening is they were not maintaining. And they began to drift and sway because their comfort came from their success. Their comfort came from their ability to do things because of their success. And they became lukewarm. And verse 19, and Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore become what? Zealous. Get back hot and repent from your coldness or your lukewarmness. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we see something vitally important, that hearing and seeing is vital. You know, seeing spiritually, and don't get me wrong on this, seeing spiritually is everything. Because if you can't see, you can't hear. And if you can't hear, you can't see. And if you can't see and you can't hear, you're in an arena of deception. And you'll not only in an arena of deception, but you'll be misled and you will mislead people. So everybody got it? And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. And we've read this over and over. And he said, but as it is written, eye has not seen. Eye has what? Not seen. Nor ear heard. Nor have entered into heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? Love him. He said they don't hear and they don't see what I have prepared for them. How many of y'all know that preparation is a continuous basis? It's not a one-time event. It says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So we see the things are revealed by His Spirit to see and hear, because God is Spirit. Amen. So we must be in the Spirit to receive from the Spirit. So our soul must be converted to interpret what the Spirit says. Has everybody got? Because when God speaks, many people don't hear because the soul is not converted or it's contaminated. It causes confusion. So the soul must get converted to interpret what the Spirit is saying. Does everybody understand that? In Psalm 19, not only must the soul be converted, but the conversion must be maintained. Psalm 19. The soul must be converted, and the conversion must be what? Maintained. Psalm 19. There's something vitally important that when God speaks, it's law. I'm going to say that again. When God speaks, it is law. That's it. No matter what He says, becomes law. Every time He speaks, it's law, law, law. There is no compromise, no ifs, ands, or buts. What He speaks is law. That's it. So when He asks you to do something, it's law. Does everybody get it? It's law. And He's given us that ultimate law that we've talked about in the area of maintaining, and the law of denying self, picking up the cross, and following. That is the law to maintain. So, in verse 7, it says this. The law is what? The law of the Lord is what? It's what? Perfect. When God speaks, is it perfect? Amen. Because when He speaks, it becomes a law. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the what? Oh, hallelujah. The law of the Lord is, in other words, the Word, when God speaks, it becomes law. It's perfect, and it converts the soul. So one of the things that the enemy is always trying to do is mess with you so your soul doesn't stay in a perfect condition. See, the Bible says a house divided cannot stand. So what He tries to do is He tries to contaminate your soul so that there is division within you. Is everybody with me? And if there's division within us, we cannot stand. We can't stand against the trickery of the enemy. We cannot overcome. And we cannot maintain. Because we're not denying ourselves. Amen? So we're not denying ourselves, taking off the old, putting on the new, and hearing or submitting and obeying. It's impossible. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple. Is the testimony of the Lord still associated with words? Yes. The statutes of the Lord are what? Are the statutes of the Lord still associated with words? Yes. See, He's given you multiple examples of law. Man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why? Because when God speaks, it's law. The commandment of the Lord, is that another word? Is pure, enlightening the what? Ah. Enlightening the eyes. In other words, there's something about the law, God's word, which converts the soul to bring sight. If the soul is not in a converted state, you can't see correctly. Has everybody got this? It says, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them the servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So we need to have eyes to see. Okay, now check this out. Eyes to see as the soul is converted. As the soul maintains conversion and it's in a perfect state, you're able to see. Now we're going to get a little bit deeper into this. What is the soul? Mind, will, and emotions. And imagination. Isn't the imagination a window? You know, think about it. You can look at someone and you know what state their soul is in. The eyes are the window to the soul. You know where they're nuts sometimes. You can see demons. You know where that person's in confusion. You can look in their eyes and tell exactly where they are if you're able to see. If you're not able to see, you're as blind as they are. So the soul is the mind, the emotions, the will, and of course the imagination. In other words, the thoughts. So the soul must be converted. Thoughts must be converted. The emotions are feelings. They must be converted. Amen? Choices must be converted to make right choices. Now, all of this conversion is going to bring vision so that your imagination, which is the image, that word image is in the imagination, will see correctly so that you can see spiritually. Has everybody got it? So that you can see what? Spiritually. I'm going to share something another deeper here. Every part of your soul has a voice. Your thoughts have a voice. Your feelings have a voice. Even a choice has a voice. Your imagination has a voice. Is everybody with me? Every one of them has a voice. Your flesh has a voice. Why? Because they express a voice. So in this, one of the things that converting to the soul is to bring one voice. The conversion of the soul is to bring one voice. No more multiple voices. One voice. That is the purpose of the conversion and converting of the soul, so that you are no longer confused. Only one voice. And the beauty of one voice. Hallelujah. Now, so all parts have a voice. As the conversion of your soul by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God begins to take dominion over all parts of your soul to establish one voice. That's the goal of the Holy Spirit. So that you're no longer swayed by how you feel. You're no longer swayed by what you think. You're no longer swayed by choices that please others. You're no longer swayed by a false imagination. You have one voice that hears and sees according to the mind of Christ. That is the purpose of converting the soul. And the law that is given to us to maintain the soul and to maintain the conversion of the soul, amen, is to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow. In Psalm 19, I mean, we already went there. Isaiah 55. I'm excited. Isaiah 55. When I had my visitation from the Lord, and, you know, when I share about the visitation from the Lord, I want you to understand it. It makes me no better than anybody else. He just had to slam me. But you know, my heart's desire was always to know the truth. That's why we started True Ministries, because it's about truth. I met the truth, spoke to the truth, he revealed truth to me, and so I declare the truth of whatever is given by this revelation of the Spirit of Truth. And when I had my visitation from the Lord, every voice stopped. There was no more voices. There was only one voice. And in that one voice, and now you got to understand, I didn't even know the Word of God because I never read it, but I met the Word of God. And He possessed me. And I like being possessed by the Holy Spirit. But when He removed every demon from me and all the other voices from me, and my soul was instantly converted to one voice. So everything I heard was no longer my thought. It was His. I didn't have my own. Now this didn't last forever. But it lasted a period of time, and I would say months. So the only person I talked to was Him. There was no other voice. Nothing. It was completely silent. And only when He spoke is the only voice I heard. And we would have conversation within. And the other one was muzzled. And then as I began to, after a few years and things began to escalate and He began to tell me about the Word, He caused me to begin to learn the Word so the conversion of my soul will be according to everyone else's. Does everybody understand this? So for that period of time, it was almost like, you know, when Moses carried, put the bag over his head, you know. He was the unknown preacher, you know. Because he didn't want the glory to go away, but it faded. So the glory might have faded for a period of, after a period of time, but His presence didn't. So I was still taking in dreams, and this went on for years after a period of time then. But in that, He wanted, because I didn't even want to read the Word of God. I kept saying, why do I need to read the Word of God when I can hear Your voice? If I can hear You and I can see things spiritually, why do I need the Word of God? The apostles, I mean, I used to argue with the Lord. The apostles didn't have the Word of God. Why do I have to have the Word of God? And the Bible would like move towards me. I'd say, no. You know, and one of the reasons I didn't want to know the Word of God, because I saw so many people walking around with a Bible that were hypocrites. And I didn't want to become one of them. I never wanted to fall in love with a book. I wanted to stay in love with Him. And I didn't know if I could love anything else without interfering with my love of Him. So in this, He began to tell me, I want you to know my Word, and I want you to become a part of the body of Christ. And then I want you to teach my Word. And then He said to me about when the ministry was about to start, He said, I'm going to put meat in a bottle so that I would feed my sheep. Even if they're babies, they'll get meat. They might not understand it fully, but it'll be brought forth in a simple way. And all of a sudden, it'll become a full course meal. It'll become a cow. You know? And I was vegetarian then. So I didn't eat meat, but I was eating His meat. But even told Adam and Eve, the meat from now on will be the fruit of the tree. So as the Lord began to show me about converting, He began to show me about maintaining. And the one word He always spoke to me was die. 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 I died, you gotta die. I died so you could die. I showed you how it's done. See, Jesus didn't die on the cross. He died in the garden. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because He had to die to self first before He could get on the cross. He had to die first so that they could beat Him to death. And it was His Father that smitten Him. But He used the devil to do it. Because they were one. And this had to be accomplished so the world could be saved. Does everybody understand that? What greater love could there be? Jesus was in prayer before they went to get Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says as He prayed, He sweat blood because He was overcoming His soul. See, when He came into this realm, He got a soul. He was no longer just pure spirit. He had a soul. So he had feelings, he had emotions, he had a choice, he had thoughts, everything. And he was more sensitive to it. See, but the thing with him was, the voice was no longer, those voices weren't in, they were out. See, the difference between Adam and Eve and me and you, when they were in the garden, that voice was not in, it was out. The whole purpose of Satan to cause a fall was so he could get his voice in them. So if he could divide them, because they were spirit, so their spirit, soul, and body were one and they were glorified. He knew that if he can get her to take a piece of his word, which was contaminated, it would produce lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. It would put his voice in her and cause division. Now the spirit, soul, and body were divided. They were no longer one. And each one now had a voice. And the voice was no longer out because the serpent's voice was out. Now it's in. And it's been passed down every generation. The voice of the serpent is called self. Has everybody got it? And so from that point on, even in the soul, there's a voice of those three parts. The mind, the emotions, the feeling of a voice, and a choice has a voice because of who's it pleasing. And the things that you see have a voice because they speak to you, don't they? And the whole purpose that the Holy Spirit is doing now is converting the soul, and so that we maintain conversion to maintain one voice, not multiple voices. Oh, glory. Isaiah 55. In verse 6. Hey, I'm being taught right with you. Praise God. I didn't study this stuff. It's coming now. Let's get it. And Isaiah 55 and verse 6, let's read it together. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his what? Oh, why? Because it is a voice. Watch. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he abundantly pardoned. What does he say now? For my what? My thoughts are not your thoughts. In other words, your thoughts are not my voice. Nor are your ways my ways. Your choices are not my voice. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways that higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my what? My word be that goes forth from my mouth. Why? Because it becomes what? Law. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. In other words, when God speaks, it becomes law. When he said, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow him, it was a law. So the law is perfect, converting the soul, his word. His words that we hear and put into practice convert our soul to one voice. To what? One voice. Not only is it converted to one voice, but it converts it to one sight, one vision. Is everybody with me? So that you see, there's something that Jesus said all the time. I love it. He says, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. Why? Because he was the Word who became flesh. There was only one voice. And in that one voice, he was able to see everything that the Father did before he did it. I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. So he was able to see, wasn't he? And when he saw his Father do it, he did it. Is everybody okay? Many who were converted are now perverted, because they lack maintaining conversion. They lack maintaining the conversion of the soul. They were a sign and wonder, now a sign and blunder. because they did not maintain the conversion of the soul. That's why law, when God says, forsake not to assembly, there's a reason. He knows exactly what needs to be done so our soul can maintain conversion. Remember, the Bible says that the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? And he's out to devour, isn't he? So remember, when he realizes that your soul has been converted, he's trying to get everything that he can to get his voice back in there and have dominion. Even though his voice might be there, but it no longer has dominion. Because when the soul is converted, the voice of the stranger no longer has dominion. And that's what Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Now you're his sheep, because the sheep lay their life down for the king. A goat does not know the voice of the shepherd, because the voice of the stranger is still taking dominion, because the soul is not maintaining conversion. Is everybody with me? Okay. Good. And Psalm 13. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't it Jesus' prayer that we would be one? Is Him and the Father are one? Oh, praise God. And Psalm 13 and verse 3. This was a cry from David. He's crying out to the Lord, and he said, well, let's start at verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my what? Why? Multiple voices. Having sorrow in my heart daily, spirit of oppression? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? See, he realized that the voices was the enemy. Look at verse 3. Consider and what? Hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my what? When he says enlighten my eyes, and what's he saying? Convert my soul. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So he realized that the fight was in the soul. So he couldn't see correctly. He's saying, enlighten my eyes. In other words, convert my soul so I can see. Psalm 15. Hallelujah. In verse 2, let's start at verse 1. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, who may dwell on your holy hill, he who walks uprightly, works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart, or in his soul. He who does not backbite with his tongue, and does nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. Look at this. And whose eyes a vile person is what? Despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. Why? Because he can see, can't he? See, he can see in the eyes of individuals. He sees the vileness. You know when somebody's lying. I get people that lie right in my face. And I'll say, Lord. And he says, I got it. Okay. They just lie. Okay. See, they can't see that I know. Because they're blind. Because if you're lying, you're blind. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, let's read verse 4 again. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Why? Because the soul has been converted. There's one voice. There's one sight. Has everybody got it? Good. Go to Psalm 36. Psalm 36, in verse 1. Let's read it together. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his what? Eyes. Why? Because the soul hasn't been converted. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his what? In his own eyes. When he finds out his iniquity and when he hates, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. It says, the way of a fool is what? Right in his own eyes. Why? Because he can't see. But he who heeds counsel is wise. Wow. Proverbs 21. Unconverted soul. Proverbs 21 verse 10. It says, the soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his what? In his eyes. So everybody got this. So understand, when the soul is converted, there's vision. When a soul begins to lose conversion, it becomes blindness. It's different sight. Is everybody okay? Go to Proverbs 23 while we're here. And verse 6. Proverbs 23 and verse 6. Let's speak it. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. Why? Because what you eat is what you become. In other words, or what you eat is what you'll see. How do you think Eve changed? She ate, right? And it brought the vision in her, and she saw differently, didn't she? In fact, she no longer saw the serpent, did she? Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he what? So he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So as a man thinks, so he is. To convert is to change diet. It is to change your diet. What is your diet? What you spiritually are eating. Amen? If you want to maintain conversion, you must maintain diet. Again, to convert is to change diet to the soul with truth, to bring correct vision or sight. If you have correct vision and sight, the purpose of conversion is also not only to bring correct vision and sight, to bring correct perception. To bring what? Correct perception. Because when the soul is converted, there's a correct belief system. And where there's a correct belief system with truth, there is correct perception. When a soul has a contaminated belief system, remember the soul is the mind, the will, emotions, right? When the soul is contaminated, there's always suspicion, assumption, and false perception. There's always suspicion, assumption, and false perception. That means there's a contamination. You know, we get all kinds of people that say all kinds of things about the ministry sometimes. And it's because of immaturity, because of the soul not being converted, or there's been a loss of conversion. Believe me, we've had all kinds of things, you know, said about the leadership here and all kinds of stuff, what goes on here. I mean, I hear all kinds of things. You know, I've heard from people saying, yeah, well, they take your money, and the pastor flies helicopters and boats and all kinds of. I mean, I run into people that say, man, we were accepted to the program. And of course, they're back in jail again. Why didn't you come? Oh, I heard it, you know. And I'm going to tell you, even some of the chaplains tore up their applications to come here because they are deceived. I'm telling you. I've had people come to me and say, yeah, the chaplain tore up my application. Of course, I'm not going to mention the chaplain's name, even if he's an idiot. Spiritually blind. That's what an idiot is, right? Praise God. But thank God there's some of them that can see. Go to Romans 12. When the soul is maintaining conversion because of the law that denying self, picking up your cross and following him, you're able to see. You're able to see clearly. See, the devil loves to bring false vision. And there are many times when the devil brings false vision. Listen, if you don't have dominion over those voices, you will have false vision and you will think that it's God. And what's the devil trying to do? Move you out of God's time and everything else. So I was in my prayer time and all of a sudden I saw a gentleman. And this was weeks ago, I think. I don't even remember. In fact, I didn't know if it was a dream or it was in my prayer time, but then I remember I was in my B&P. Bubbles in prayer. And so I was in B&P. I saw this gentleman sitting on a curb. And he was sitting in the curb, and he was here, but he left years ago. Probably, goodness, I don't know, 8 years ago. And so the Lord says to me, will you take him back? So I prayed for him first, and I realized that he was married and so forth, apparently. And so then the Lord says, and it was like I looked at the Lord like, okay. And he said, will you take him back? And I thought, why are you asking me this? In other words, why not just tell me? Because he's a father, and he likes conversation. Even though his words are law, he still likes to give you the choice. So my choice was, whatever you want. And then I heard, I know this sounds strange, a nod. In other words, I saw a nod. In other words, take him back. Okay, praise God. Well, I haven't been in jail because of busyness and in and out of town. And so I went to jail today, and there he was in my class. So I said to him, welcome home, in jail. And he said to me, he had, and so he came up, and he gave me a hug. And I said, are you ready to come home? And he said, yes. He said, I was sentenced at a place called something something. Of course, I had another name for that place, but, and he said, but I can go anywhere I want. I just have to let them know where I'm going. So I said, well, come home. So the Lord already showed me. And I'm sharing this because of the area that when it's truly the Lord that shows you, truly when it's God that shows you, it comes to pass. Not by assumption, not by mistake, not by man, not by anything else. He just got there. And I just got there. And the only thing I could say to him was, are you ready to come home? He said, yes. So I know that he'll be coming home. I don't know what day or whatever. But I share this because the importance of, the Bible says something important. It says, watch and see. Pray and watch. Amen? Pray and watch. Pray and watch. So many people don't pray and watch. And sometimes God, If you allow him the opportunity to show you, you will see. You'll see what's hindering you. You'll see what's what. You'll see everything. If you allow him to show you. And that takes maintaining the conversion of the soul so that we become one voice with him. Amen? Vitally important. Vitally important. And we're going to continue this teaching, but not tonight. So, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for testimony. And we thank you for part two of converting the soul. And promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.